worship your name. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. So good to worship him. Again, thank you, worship team. It was wonderful just to come to his presence. I pray that you did get into his presence. Hope you're still there. Hallelujah. You know, as we continue to worship him this morning and just remind ourselves as we close in on Christmas. But again, remember, this isn't really when Jesus was born, but we're going to celebrate anyway because the world is celebrating. And so this is a time when hearts are open and families come around the table. You have an opportunity maybe to share the good news of who Jesus is. But before we start my message, I just wanted to remind us here of this. We have a subscription to grace101.org. And if you have a pen, you might want to write that down, grace101.org. And you or anybody you want, if you have enemies, friends, whatever, you can give them grace101.org. And there's the username. It's case sensitive. So the username is capital GCCS. And the password is GCCS, but little letters. And once you get on there, you have all of these things that you can go through. And there's a whole bunch of them, so many. And I know there are people here who have been on this. I know Elliot has been on. Some are new here, like Periscope and a few of the others. And you want to go on and look at some. That's only some of them. There's many, many more. And you can do whatever you want with them. As a matter of fact, again, if you know anybody struggling in any area, it's free. We pay the subscription. It's open to whomsoever will. And you can tell anybody you want about it, and they can go on. Okay? Got that? God is good. Okay, here it is. It's GCCS, capital, and then little GCCS for the username, or password, I'm sorry. Username and password. And again, it's available to you anytime you want to go on during the year. As a matter of fact, you have 13 months, and then probably we'll renew the subscription again. It'll keep going on. But use it. You know, go on. See, there's plenty up there. I mean, you need to. I've been on a few times, and I love. Matter of fact, we had shown here Crisis 101, the DVDs. They're 20, 25 minutes long, all about crossing the Red Sea. The guy does an excellent job. We saw all of them here on a Wednesday night. And so if you haven't seen them, go on. And, they are remarkable. He does a great job. Sure. Yeah, I'll give that. I have it up there. I'll give it to you, Doreen. Okay. So here we are. It is Christmas. The first message we, again, you know, we're looking at the gifts that we have received at Christmas time. And the first one that we wanted to share with you this Christmas was prepare with hope. And we talked about prepare. Matter of fact, we started with this, acknowledge the darkness, right? In other words, we need to look outside. There's plenty of darkness out there. But then we have to look at our own hearts. You see, salvation starts with you looking at your own darkness within and then acknowledging it before the throne of grace. Some people don't want to acknowledge the darkness. They just don't want to. I mean, got to have light. Just got to have lots of light. And whatever the case might be. Okay, that's enough. But you can keep off for a moment. But you need to acknowledge the darkness. That was the first point. The second point was embracing the weight. It's hard to do this. It's hard to wait on God. It's hard to wait on God to move in your life. But that's what we need to do. Some people, though, don't want to wait on God.
Come on, you know I'm terrible at waiting for things.
We'll be right back with more Laverne and Shirley.
But I want it now!
Now, you probably don't get as angry as that guy, but certainly we need to embrace the wait. And we're living in a culture today that doesn't want to wait for anything. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but there are times I get mad at my computer when it's not moving fast enough. And 10 years ago, there would be no moving of the computer. There would be none of this 20 years ago. I mean, it just didn't exist. And, of course, the last point was commit to the journey. And that's what we need to do. You need to commit to the journey. You're on a journey. Even this time, right now, it's Christmas season. You're on a journey. You're on a journey to continue to enter into the presence of God. You're on a journey to, again, not only acknowledge your own darkness, and not only to embrace the weight as God continues to move in your life, but what about your family? What about your children? I hope your knees are knobby from praying for them. No matter how good or bad their situation is, that you continue praying and praying and praying. The only time I had knobby knees, I need to remind you, was when I was on my surfboard because we used to learn how to knee paddle. They don't do much of that anymore. And we got knobby knees. Now I really know what knobby knees are, because now you're praying for your children more than ever, right? And for many of you, grandchildren. Okay.
As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy.
Magi, the wisest of the wise. Tell me what they claim.
They believe that a new king awaits them now in Judea.
Father, we must send your soldiers to follow them. Until they find the man we seek.
And raise their suspicions? Then we risk not finding this king at all. Invite them to dine with us. Your arrival is by the hand of Providence. For years, I have studied the words of the prophets. Out of Bethlehem shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people, Israel.
Your Excellency, I too have studied these words. I have waited a lifetime for the signs I now see.
As have many. The star, the one that you have followed. Tell me, what does it mean?
The prophecy speaks of a child.
Heralded by the star we have followed these many months.
What do you mean, a child? Are you not here seeking a man? A man ready to proclaim himself Messiah?
No. A child. A Messiah for the lowest of men to the highest of kings.
We too have been waiting for God's King.
For years.
Okay, you can see a little bit of deception on his face, right? King Herod, he did a great job there with that particular thing. Let's read the scriptures. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And so, again, as we prepare our hearts with hope, we want to now promote with love and understand a little bit about what that means as we look at the gift of love this particular time, this week. You know, so we're following the star, we're following the wise men, as they're called. Even though that word, some translate it magi or astrologers or whatever, we'll just consider them as wise men, because that's what they were, wise men. And they were searching for him, the king of the Jews. And again, as we look at this, remember, we don't know much about this star, much about the wise men, but we do know a little bit. It's said there in Scripture, and that's what we're going to look at. And as we continue to look, I would remind you this morning that this light that's been given to you, light has been given to you. I would hope that you've embraced that light. And that is the brightest love that you could possibly have, a love that never gives up, never gives up, a love that conquered sin and death, and a love that surrounds daily and fills you eternally, a love that we can't even imagine or begin to imagine. You know, we have a concept of love here, a little bit human love, if you will, but divine love, until you're born again, you really have no understanding of what that is. Perfect love. And that's what Jesus came. He was God's love embodied, God in the flesh, his love in the flesh. And so as we continue to explore this, let me ask you some questions. How many of you here have finished your Christmas shopping? Anybody here finished? Ah, a few. God bless you. Hallelujah. You don't have to fight the crowds. How many of you here are still even haven't started shopping yet? Ah, there are a few. Okay. How many of you here want to just skip the shopping and get right on to the Christmas dinner, right? Forget the shopping. Let's get right on to the Christmas dinner. Well, whether you've started, haven't started, whatever you're waiting for. You know, there was a time just a few years ago when, you study about how much money is being spent here in America. It was $600 billion. This season, they expect Americans to spend $1 trillion in the Christmas season. $1 trillion. I mean, the numbers get astronomical. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. But getting back here to the theme about love. So we'll ask you some questions about love. How do you perceive God's love for you? How do you do that? And what do you do? I mean, when you were saved, did God's love do something to your heart? Did it change who you were? I mean, I know you're here and I get to give the same testimony all the time. But I'm sorry. I mean, these are the things that... I remember when I got saved, God had an impact on my heart. I can't even begin to tell you. I still remember, I tell it again, when I walked into that Christmas shop that we had, Christian shop that was here in Sayville. It's no longer there anymore. And Maureen took me in, and I was just saved maybe a week. And I have a plaque in the back. I should have brought it out again. And you look around, there's so much stuff when you're a new Christian. You're looking at all of these plaques, all of these books. You don't know where to start, except for the Bible, of course. You need to start somewhere. And I looked at this one plaque, and I'm thankful that there was nobody around that these things happened. So I was looking at this plaque, and you start weeping. Tears start flowing from your eye. You can't stop it. You just can't stop. Almost like Scrooge. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. You can't help yourself. As he talked about the fact that Jesus spread out his arms, and he died for you. I looked at it and I was like, what an impact that had on my mind and my heart. I mean, I just could not continue to believe that if I was the only one here, Jesus would have died for me. That's how much he loved me. That's how much he loves you. But so often we feel we need to earn God's love. We have to do something for his love. You know, I mean, after all, I've been created by God. I'm here. I need to do something about his love. And you really don't have to do anything. He's bestowed his love upon you, this love. And I think what God is asking us in this season is that the same love that he has poured out on you, we have to learn how to pour out on others. And that is hard, especially if you're not saved and you listen to all of this. You know, the Christmas message has been around for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, the message has gone out. Some hearts it has touched and others it hasn't. There are people who believe that they can love, they can do these things in their own flesh, and they find out how badly they do at it. And yet when Christ's love is in you, you can do the impossible. You can love the unlovable. And by the way, can I just say this at one time? I don't know about your life, but maybe you are unlovable at one time, and somebody came into your life and loved you the way God would love you. And so I want to talk this morning about this love, and we want to start by first saying that this love didn't just come down with Jesus. You know, we say God's love entered the world as a baby. Maybe you've heard some of these things, and that's true. It is true. God's love did come down in Jesus, but it would be mistaken if that's all we saw about God's love. God's love existed from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, we're told that God is love. He is love. That's his nature. That's his character. And so we would be mistaken if we only looked at this love that came down at Christmas time, if you will, at the birth of Jesus. It started a long time ago. The history of the world really is a love story. It is a love story. And so sometimes we need to look back and see what the scriptures say about this love and understand it more. Yes, love did come crashing down, but listen to what the scriptures say. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. See, God knew you from the foundations of the world. Before you were a twinkling in your mom and dad's eye, God knew you. And God was going to bestow his love upon you. And I know you're sitting here and saying, you know, that's nice, but I don't remember when I was informed of my mother's womb. Well, that's okay, but you need to realize that God loved you before. You know, I was just going through the story of Mary. I hate to beat up on some of these issues, but I was going through the story of Mary. And, you know, Mary is a perfect example of a born-again experience. That's why I love to look at Mary, not as the co-redemptrix, but as a born-again believer. And this is what the scriptures say. It says that the Spirit of God would come upon her. And that it says that because you are highly favored, you are highly favored, and thou shalt conceive and bear a child and call his son Jesus. Now listen to what was just said there. You see, God came to Mary and said, Mary, listen, I have this invitation for you. You can choose to accept it or you can choose to reject it. Listen to what I'm saying. You can choose to accept it or choose to reject it. Did God say that? No, God said, you shall conceive. Why? Because you have found favor, grace with God. Grace with God. How does that all happen? Because the Spirit of God will come upon you. You know, there are people sitting here. I don't know your intricate life. I don't walk with you. I don't know if you've ever confessed Jesus before a multitude of people, or you've done it in some prayer closet. You've never stood up and said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father is in heaven. And so the Holy Spirit has come upon you right now here in this place. You're going to be held accountable for what's being said this morning. The Spirit of God is drawing you. That's why you're here, if you've never done that. And because you're here and the Spirit of God is drawing you, God is saying this: you have found favor in my sight. I want to pour out my grace on you. And by the way, for that one who will say, I want to be saved and come to the altar, Jesus is saying right now, you shall be saved. You will be saved. That's what he's saying. But so many people say, well, you know, I'll wait, or I'll get there. I'll get there on my good works or my performance, whatever. And that's not how it works. You don't have to do anything. The only thing you need to do is come. Oh, yes. There is, you know, we say you don't have to do anything, but there is a condition, if you will. And that is, you need to realize that within you is this great darkness that you need to confess. We call it sin here. Sin. You need to confess your sin, repent of it. And you know what happens then? What a wonderful thing. Jesus comes along and washes it all away. Just washes it away. Saved forever. Ephesians 1 says this: For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We just explained that, right? That's what he's done for us. He has loved us. His predestination is based on the fact of his love for you. He's predestined you because he's loved you. He wants to pour his love out upon you. Love doesn't depend on you. It depends on God, because God is love, and God has come along. And so it's his character. It's his nature. He wants to love up on you. You know, we always say that here sometimes when we talk about fellowship. It's time to love up on one another. Well, that's what God wants to do with you right now. You know, if I was John, the apostle, you know, we talk about the apostles, and some of you like Peter. He was a swashbuckler, and he liked to get out there and be brash for Jesus. But John was the one that sat on his lap. John was the one that put his head on Jesus' breast. John was the one that could hear the heartbeat of the living God. How's about you? Do you take the time to get alone with God so that you can put your head on his breast and hear his heart beating through his word as you study, as you get into it? We pursue this journey of love, and I want to encourage you as we do that, as you do that this Christmas season, that you need to realize that God's love existed before you were even a child, before you were even born. His love existed for you, not for your wife, not for your children, not for President Trump, not for whoever you want to put in there. It existed for you. And so his love is worth focusing on. His love is worth meditating on. His love is worth coming into his embrace and letting him love you during the season as you've never had before. And so, love from the start. And then, of course, love enough. You know, I believe that I'm going to ask some questions. I believe that some of us have a tough time with it. Do you ever have a time? Do you ever have a hard time loving God? I mean, God never has a hard time loving you. Even when you've fallen, he doesn't have a hard time loving you. But you have a hard time sometimes loving God. As a matter of fact, you have a hard time sometimes accepting his love for you, receiving it in your life. Do you believe that his love is enough, that his love will cover your pain and your hurt? Whatever it is you're going through, do you believe that his love will do this for you? If we're honest, if we're all honest here this morning, I think that many of us will answer yes to some of these questions and say, yeah, I do. I do have a hard time sometimes when things hit, when pain and hurt and suffering, relationships, all of these issues, when I have a hard time, just have a hard time. I'm willing to admit that. Despite what you might know in your head, despite what you feel in your heart, sometimes we have a hard time understanding the reality of God's love for us. And it's okay to admit that. Because it's when you admit it that God can do a great work within. It's so different than our ability to love God's love. And we just don't understand all these things. It's just so hard. That's why I want to remind you of good news this morning. Good news. Matter of fact, the best news. God loves you. We could say that till we're blue in the face, but until you receive that in your heart, you'll never know it, that God loves you. Not because of anything you've done or anything you have to do. As a matter of fact, most of us in reality have made a mess of our life before we were saved. A real mess of it. But God says He loves you. And His love isn't just for today. It's an everlasting love. And it's not like perhaps, I want to be careful here, some mothers and fathers, I'm sure none here, or some maybe ex-spouses or friends or enemies who will use love as a means to abuse you or hurt you. God's love is what I would say is perfect, it's whole, it's pure, and God wants to lavish it upon you, especially during this time. You know, I'm a romantic, I don't know, but very often I like to watch some of the old Christmas movies, and as I watch them, some of the stories you watch, they just bring tears to my eyes. I mean, just to watch some of the issues of how the love of God is presented in some of the old movies. You know, if you've never seen Going My Way, you need to see Going My Way. If you've never seen, the big one that they always play here with, what's his name? The Wonderful Life. I just saw another one that I really wanted to play again on a Wednesday night. It's all about Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens, of course, wrote what great story? A Christmas Carol. And I'm sure all of you have seen A Christmas Carol. All of you look at Scrooge, and then at the end of the movie, it's like, wow, is that a born-again experience or what? And yet they made a movie now of how Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. Of course, it's fictional, because after all, The Christmas Carol is fictional. But yet when you watch this movie, it's like unbelievable. You see how these authors put some of these things together, talking about, in reality, the love of God, how the love of God provokes us to do something. That's why we're talking about promoting with love the Christmas story. That's what we need to do. We don't go out there and beat people up on the head with the Bible. We promote with love the Christmas story. In spirit and in truth, we promote this. Because it's the greatest story in the world. And people need to know it. I believe that what God wants us to do is almost found here in Ephesians, where it says, this is Paul, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. That love that God wants to pour in you would be to the fullest, and that you would understand that love. Isn't that your desire? That should be our desire, to understand the love of God, so that we, as humans, who are frail and really helpless and hopeless without God, can express that love to others. But that's the final point. We haven't gotten there yet. So even when God's love seems distant, you need to know that it's right there with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not out there somewhere. He's not some distant uncle that's waiting to bestow some gift upon you once in a while. You know, before I got saved, my impression of God was, I had the old Star Trek impression, God was out there somewhere. He was out there. But to get in touch with Him, well, that was like that. How do you get in touch with God? How does that happen? Well, it happens through a personal relationship. And again, I was just on YouTube listening to some men and different people from different denominations, and realizing that one guy got up there and he said that this is all a joke. It's all a joke. How do you can't have a personal relationship with God. You can't know God that way. I mean, after all, God is way out there. God is far, far more infinite than your mind could possibly even imagine. Is that true, by the way? Can you have a personal relationship with God? Now let me ask the bigger question. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Does God talk to you? Do you hear Him? Well, no, I mean, what do you mean hear Him, Ed? I mean, do you hear God in here? Do you hear Him? Does He speak to you? When you're watching a movie, when you're reading an article, whatever it might be, can God speak through that? Well, certainly he wants to speak through his word. So the first place, if you want to hear him, is get into his word. And God, yes, God says you can have a personal relationship with the living God. But you know, when we go back at this story and we look at it, we realize that the people of Israel were struggling. They felt abandoned. 400 years, there was no word from God. That's a long time for God's people to have no word from God. For you, let me just explain. Let's reduce that a little bit. 40 years, you haven't heard from God. You heard when you got saved. 40 years later, you haven't heard from him. What do you think you'd feel? Abandoned by God? How would you feel about that? How's about 4 years? How's about 40 days? What about 4 days? Listen, God wants to speak to you every day. I mean, one of the things sometimes we forget, and I remember Maureen has this thing hanging up. It says, expect a miracle every day. Every day. Not some days. Expect it. Go out there expecting that God's going to do something. By the way, you are the miracle. You are the miracle. There is no greater miracle in this world than you. You've been born again. You've been washed in his blood. You are a new creature. You have been resurrected from the dead. Wow, that's got to be a miracle. Once I was blind, now I was dead. Now I'm alive. Last point. Oh, wait. Okay, let me read one other scripture here. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced. Are you convinced? As we read this. Are you convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Are you convinced of that? That nothing in this world can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Not a thing can separate you from the... No, I didn't write this. You know, very often we get into these theological discussions. By the way, theology is good. It's okay. You know, don't let people get on your case about the issue of doctrine or theology. Well, you're not a pastor. You're not this. You don't have to get into that stuff. That's all baloney. Theology is for you. God's doctrines are for you. You need to study to show yourself approved. You might not understand it all, like all of us, but still get into it. Let God show you some things. And one of the things he'll show you is that nothing can separate you from the love of God. He loves you now. He loved you before. He'll love you no matter what, and he's going to love you in the future. Do you believe that? There is no separation. No separation from the love of God and you. If there is a separation for a short amount of time, it's because you have decided to walk off. What is that thing the Indians have? The reservation. You've decided to walk off the reservation. Well, it's time to come back. It's time to find a guide, an Indian guide, and get you back on the reservation. Send one out. Go get them. But are you convinced of this? Okay, my last point this morning is this. Love overflows. You know, is anybody here expecting company this Christmas season? Are you expecting family? If you are, raise your hand. Are you expecting family to come over to your house? You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have with gifts? Somebody said, good, that's good. I hope so. Let me just say this, that you're going to have to feed them, whatever the case might be. Especially if you come to an Italian household. I'm sorry. We got to feed you. Right, Andy? You got to feed them. And so they're going to come over. If you're having people, they'll come over. But you know, the real question is this. After they've been there for 3 days and three nights, and you're about talked out, you've listened to all the stories, then what? Hey, it's time to go. Is that how you feel or what? That's not how we should feel in reality. Many of these people we haven't seen for a long time, but sometimes that really impacts our heart. You know, hey, it is time to go. That's why I guess the story about grandchildren is it's good to have grandchildren. You see, you can have them there for a short time, but then they leave. Because as grandparents, it's like, I need my sleep. It's 3 o'clock, time for a nap. And by the way, that's not the case either. I love my grandkids. I wish they could stay. I wish we could live right where they live, right? I mean, but that doesn't happen. Although, where's Jim? I still need my sleep, Jim. You know what I mean? We got home yesterday at 1 o'clock in the morning. I got home at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was like, and I have to write a sermon. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding or what? No, I'm only kidding. Thank God we... But we were down at the OCC packing place down in Baltimore. And we had to drive back. And it was a long drive, especially when there was an accident on the belt that detained us for half an hour. Dead stop for half an hour. It was like, at any rate... there's a time when, you know, you look at your relatives and say, well, it's time to go now. Time to leave. But sometimes the hardest thing is when we think of all of that, is that, getting back to these house guests, is that sometimes the ones you love at times can be the most unlovable. Is that not true? In relationships and families, I mean, there are times when they just, you know, I can't find it in me to love because of something, some hurt, some offense that's been taken. Well, this is the season maybe to have that undone. Maybe this is the season to give that to God and let Him do something in your life that you believed could never, ever be done. It's a time to say, Lord, you know, I've been doing this for the last... whatever it's been, 10 years, 20 years, and obviously it hasn't worked. Can you admit that? It has not worked. So I'm going to give this to you this year. And I know what you're going to tell me, even though I don't want to hear it. But I'll do it because I want to do it your way. And you know what will happen? Remarkably, there will be forgiveness. Remarkably, these relationships will be restored. Not in your strength, not in your will, not in your power, but because Jesus will provide that for you. If you're willing, honestly, to come before Him and say, you know, this is the time, this is the year. We've had enough. This is the time to bring the family together. This is the time to do the right thing. And He'll remind us that this can only happen when you decide that you're weak and you can't do it in your own strength. And that's what we have to do. When we're weak, God is strong. His grace is sufficient. But we got to get to that point. And it's hard sometimes for men, you know, because I'm going to do this. I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to get through this. I'm going to do it. You have to realize, no, I can't do it. And when you start to decide and admit to yourself and God that you can't do it, that's the time when God will do something great in your life. Now, you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts. By the way, this happens to be from the Living Bible. It's not from the King James. The King James is a little different, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. None of this is easy. It's not easy. It's hard. But the love of God is living within you. And if the love of God is living within you, then you can do this. You can do it. You know, as I end this morning, I would suggest, I was going to read it, but it's a long reading. I would suggest you read 1 John 4, 7 to 19. That's right here. 1 John 4, 7 to 19. And as you read that, let God speak to your heart. I think you'll find, as you read this, that God is love and He sent His Son. He sent His Son to do what? He sent His Son as a gift to you, to save you. And we know and we can rely on God's love within, because that love has been shed abroad in your hearts, as Romans tells us. And you can remind yourself that love that lives in you will live forever. It's there. You need to embrace it. You need to have God work through you in that love. And we can love others. We can love others because we're reminded that it wasn't you that loved God, was it? God first loved you. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And I would remind you of that, you know, we think we loved God. Those of us who went to church, we think we were doing the right thing. We were very religious. At least I was. I mean, whatever I had to do there, I knew how to do it because that's what we had to do. These are the things, great tradition, great ritual. And at the end of the day, your heart was void and empty. You had no relationship with God. Yet, you thought you were good. You were the good guy. I'm the good guy. I go to church. Absolutely. I mean, God and me, yeah, we don't have any. There's nothing between me and God. No, except this big gulf that you can't overcome. And until you realize that, then God can do something for you. And so here we are. What are we going to do again? We're going to pursue with hope. We're going to promote with love this great and wonderful Christmas story that God has given us. And by the way, you know, we talk about story. The story could be fictional or it can be non-fictional. This story that I'm talking about has nothing to do with fiction. It is reality. And it needs to become real in your life. And so we're ending here this morning again. You know, I sort of gave an invitation before. But if you're sitting here and you never said yes to Jesus, you never let people around you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Oh, yeah, they see you coming to church. I come to church. I sit here. This is a warm and fuzzy place. I love it here. Matter of fact, I love it every fourth Sunday. You know why? I get rolls and coffee. And I get to sit with people who talk to me. I'm out there, nobody talk, but I get to sit and they talk. And they listen to my stories over and over. And they do. They seem to be loving people. That won't get you to heaven. None of that will get you to heaven. The only thing that will get you to heaven is God's grace. And the only way you're going to get God's grace is to realize that you're a sinner and you need to get saved. You need to have Jesus wash away your sins. And so the invitation is always out. This altar is always open. Anytime you feel that you want to declare to this world that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we want to rejoice with the angels in heaven who are waiting. They are waiting for that day when you take that step. If you've never taken it, let today be that day. If not this day, next Sunday. If not next Sunday, the Sunday after that. But can I say something? Between now and next Sunday, the Sunday after that, you might not be around to make that choice or decision, if you will, which, by the way, God has already intended you to make. You just don't know it. Father, again, as always, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. You are a remarkable God. And for me to say remarkable, it's like that word can't even explain what you are. You are wondrous. You know, when I think of your attributes, we sang about you are worthy and you are holy. And when I come before a holy God, I want to bow in your presence. And I want to remind myself that you are such a great and mighty God. And yet, I know that as I bow before you, you come over to me, you stick your hand out and say, my son and my daughter, thank you. And I want to bless your life. And that's really what God wants to do. And so we thank you this morning. Bless your people this day. As we go out on the highways and byways, may we compel them to come in, not gospel, but come into salvation. Come into a personal relationship with a God who loves them. We thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.